We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Arrested on charges of an unemployment. He was
asking Dave, I thought maybe something special for Chuck Berry. His wife pulled up the little Chuck Berry bumper music, nothing special.
No, it's just a great song.
Right, I like it too. Free that brown eyed man. Hey, by the way, when I was, I couldn't watch a lot of television when I was down for the count over the weekend because I wasn't well enough to even lift my head up off the couch, but I did finally squeeze in at like 2 in the morning on Saturday, like Friday into Saturday, the impeachment deal that we talked about last week.
What'd you think?
It's not called, what is that thing called? It's not called American Crime Story, is it?
Isn't it?
American Crime Story.
I think it is.
Horror Story. American Crime Story. Same thing with
although
the people
versus
Although
it kind of was a horror story
OJ
for
Simpson.
Some people.
Well, yes.
So Dave, I sent Dave, you have or have not watched it, Sue?
I have watched part of it. I haven't made it through. Then I went down the 9/11 wormhole.
So here is, yeah, I know, I did that a little bit too.
I was just very intrigued by the time of the day that you watched it, Mark. 2 in the morning.
Well, we watched it at 2 a.m.
Well, because yeah. I fell asleep. I was out on Friday, and then Friday night, I'm like, I got to go to sleep. So I slept from about 8:30 to 12:30. I woke up at 12:30, and then I was awake, you know, Friday morning. So that's when I watched it. So I said, here's what I said to Dave Saturday. It's like really early, too.
Yes, it was.
I
watched the Clinton deal at about 2 o'clock this morning. Didn't love it, but it has promise. Sarah Paulson totally owns that role as Linda Tripp,
yes!
So that might make this thing work in and of itself. Because as you watch it,
I was
trying to be patient with it because they're building, but man, is she good in that role. I'd give her the Emmy already.
She is stunning. And if you didn't know that was her, would you ever?
No.
the makeup, the outfit, you would never know.
Okay, I'll give you a perfect real life example of that. I had forgotten it was her. So I watched the show and then I had to look up. I'm like, oh yeah, that's Sarah Paulson because I had forgotten it. But I didn't like what's his name is Clinton. I mean, he's only in it a little bit. That didn't work at all. I mean,
he's only in it for
Bill's
a,
no matter what you think of Bill, he's like friendly guy.
That's
he's like,
right.
Come on, yeah. Man. All right, before we get to Sue's news, we got Jake in here this afternoon too to react to Sue's news. I have to share this story just because it's weird. It's very weird. I don't know if you guys know this one at all. It was in the Washington Post over the weekend, and I'm just going to read the way it starts here and just get your reaction. The clatter of Katie Peters' shopping cart drowned out any sound from the man behind her. She didn't see him as he sneaked up. She didn't hear anything as he pulled out his weapon, but then she felt a sharp pain in her buttock. I knocked whatever was behind me, she said in an interview, turned around to see her attacker. She started yelling at him and said, did you burn me with a cigarette? Because she felt this like stinging sensation.
Would you say buttock for me one more time?
Buttock.
Thank you.
Because they
buttock.
Didn't say, I thought it was interesting because they didn't say buttocks. They were very
just
clear.
One.
Just one buttock.
Yeah. Right. And you'll know why when you hear what happened
okay.
here. It is creepy. The guy says, and this guy's name, by the way, is Thomas Stemmen. He goes, yeah, it felt like a bee sting, didn't it? It wasn't a cigarette. This guy had stuck her with a syringe that was loaded with semen.
I'm not kidding
you. So he's...
What?
Okay, listen to the story. Here's the other thing about this guy. I told you his name was Thomas... Listen to how his name is spelled. This is just a weird observation. If you take the T out of his name, it's semen. It's S-T-E-M-E-N. Okay? I don't
That's
know if that
disturbing
is...
disturbing in and of itself.
Wait a minute.
Right?
That's like.
Will you please continue with this? I'm done.
You know what that is? That's how, like, in Spider-Man, a guy named Otto Octavius became Dr. Octopus.
Yes, that's right.
Right.
That's exactly what's going on.
That is what's going on here. So 100%. It says he's 52 years old. This is in Maryland, by the way. Sentenced to 10 years in prison. This happened in February 2020 at a grocery store. He was also convicted of second-degree assault for making contact but not hurting a 17-year-old girl in the same supermarket. So this was 3 months after he did plead guilty. Prosecutors have called his attack absolutely chilling. A judge described it as bizarre and disturbing. The prosecutor, after the sentencing, said it was truly horrific. So I guess she says that she had just finished shopping at this food store. She's bringing her cart inside. You know, she brought the cart outside. Most people leave it outside, right? She's bringing the cart inside. The surveillance video shows that the guy followed right behind her as she's entering through the automatic sliding door. Makes an immediate right turn, shoves her cart into the row of others, and then this guy bumps up against her. As she's letting go of the cart, he bumps up against her and he jabs her. And you could see on the video that the woman sort of moves backward, and she told the TV reporter that did this story that she yelled at the guy about burning with a cigarette because that's what she thought it was. So she goes to her car and she leaves. And after she gets in her car, she says it starts burning like mad. So she gets home. She notices a red spot, what looked like a puncture wound on her buttock, and felt a wet substance on her pants.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to be gross here. I'm just saying this is a very, very bizarre story. The footage, so they get the video, you know, surveillance footage. Oh, it shows the attack, but it also shows that he followed two others. One of them was the 17-year-old girl before pulling out of his pocket what looked like the syringe. He tried to get close to the other people as well. So the next day she gets up. The area is... Think about being the victim of this.
Even.
It's a red area about 4 inches wide. So she goes to the hospital. The urgent care gives her a 30-day cocktail of preventative medication. And she says for a week, she didn't know what was injected in her. I have no clue.
A week is too long to not know.
Yes.
That really
is. Yes, it is. Did she go... Wouldn't you go immediately back to the store and have them redo
That's what happened. Yeah. Okay. So she says, I don't know, for a week. It could be rat poison. She doesn't know at this time. So police released the grocery store video because
there
they're trying to help find this guy. So they hone in on him. They get a search warrant. They search his car and his home. They found a syringe in his car in the driver's side door with, with an unknown cloudy liquid inside. And they discovered another syringe on the top shelf of his medicine cabinet.
So he was ready to go for another
victim. Yeah, he had nine empty ones scattered around his home.
Hey, guys.
And in nightstands.
At least he wasn't reusing the same one.
Well, he was practicing safe syringing along that line, right. I guess. So he's arrested a week after they find him, right? They do the surveillance. They arrest him. Police say, well, what were you doing? And he says, I was doing nothing. I was just standing there. So she said that,
after filling nine syringes with.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, basically, she told the guy, you're not going to do this to me or the young people in my community get away with it. It's just not going to happen. And that was basically her message after this thing occurred. But it's just crazy. And then I don't know if 10 years in prison is exactly right.
I am maybe a little
longer than that, right?
I'm all for letting some low-grade drug offenders out of jail and locking this guy up for life.
Unbelievable.
He needs to be.
Yeah. They don't.
It's disturbing.
That
they
don't
is
really
a level
say
of creep
how
that...
he how he admitted. I'm trying to see here if he admitted to it, because in the story that I have in the Washington Post.
Well, he pretty much said it in the store, didn't he?
Well, but he didn't say what was in it, remember?
Oh, okay.
So I had to go to a different story here. Here's a Maryland story. It says, the police asked for information. A caller identifies the guy as Stemmen. Police obtained a search warrant. They found the stuff that I just mentioned. Nine other empty syringes. Five of the syringes did not have needles. They found the clothes that he was wearing during the attack. They obtained his DNA. They send the liquid to the lab for testing. That's when they find out what the liquid is.
Oh, my.
They match the DNA. Unfortunately, he had, fortunately, his pants had a substance that was determined to be the same thing. It's just disgusting.
It is disgusting.
I mean, just when you think you've heard all levels of depravity in society, you're going grocery shopping,
minding your own business,
and somebody stabs you with a needle. And it's weird enough that that would happen, but to have be the substance, right? I'm just sharing because that was a weird story. There's no doubt about that. And I think that
10 years, huh? What
not
state?
Enough.
I agree, Dave. Yeah. Maryland.
Not nearly enough.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Thank you, by the way, to Jake for filling in for Fred, who had the nerve to take a vacation day.
How dare he?
I mean, what? An 18-year-old woman...
How about old Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
An 18-year-old woman who was ranked 150th in the world and who only appeared in one previous major event won the U.S. Open over the weekend.
How awesome was that?
It was incredible!
That was really... Both these young ladies, just to have that championship, it was so funny because I text Sue, I was watching it on Saturday afternoon. I said to you, I don't know who to root for. And you determined it, maybe not a bad determination here on who to root for, because the girl who was from, and I forget the name, is Fernandez.
Canada.
She did a little bouncy thing. Like, she was doing a lot of bouncing.
And
right?
It started to get on my nerves. Yeah. And at some point, you have to pick something. So I went anti-bouncing. But she was incredible.
Sue says, I've decided to root for Raducanu. I'm getting a little tired of the bouncing.
Yes.
And sure enough, but, you know, Fernandez did not give up, and she was in it. She kept fighting. I just loved it. I really thought it was great.
And it was really fun to watch. So Emma won. She's the British teenager. She made history. Because of her low ranking, she had to win three preliminary matches to even get into the tournament.
And she never lost a set. That in and of itself is really incredible. So their career earnings, I mean, I don't even know what their combined career earnings, and they'd played before together when they were juniors, but just for making the final, I think Fernandez got like 1.1, right?
I think she did. I lose that out of my head. That's so much money that I'm like, what?
Becky was making fun. My wife was making fun of their outfits. She's like into logos and stuff. She didn't like their outfits. And I thought, they don't have sponsors. And give them,
they'll have cooler
outfits.
They'll get there. Raducanu, by the way, the first qualifier to ever reach, let alone win, the Grand Slam final.
Wouldn't it be interesting to see what level of success she has
from here?
Because I don't know that was a complete fluke at all.
No,
I don't think it was.
I don't either. Djokovic, of course, was hoping to make history by winning the Grand Slam title, but he was defeated, and it was straight sets. Did you watch that one, too?
Well, it was straight sets, but the third set, Medvedev got a little ahead of himself and was trying to close out Djokovic. And Djokovic, he doesn't give up, and he's been known to come back from two sets down, right? I think he did that.
He's done it before.
At Wimbledon earlier this year, one of the tournaments. So, yeah, I did watch that, and no Grand Slam for Novak, but look, I think he's going to be okay.
He'll be all right. Do we have any Carl's Drive-Ins fans?
By the way, going back to just real quick to the U.S. Open, the fans are so stuffy. Why are the fans so stuffy?
Stuffy?
I don't know.
It's a tennis thing.
Yeah, maybe.
I think Wimbledon.
Wimbledon's stuffier.
I think Wimbledon is stuffier. New York kind of surprises me because of who they get behind. They don't necessarily like, you know, Djokovic. If he was going to try to make this, you know, huge thing in history, and they were kind of anti him.
Yeah, right. You know, but then when he starts to come back into it.
And then they go, I don't know. I think they like an underdog.
Right. I don't know. It's just that I've always wanted to go to an event like that, but it just seems like they're pretty stuffy.
I
want to
go. I don't care.
Stuffy.
I still want to go. Carl's Drive-In. Anybody? Am I the only one who goes there in Brentwood?
Aren't Carl's Jr. and Hardy's the same?
No, this is different. This is a one. Carl's Drive-In is a institution in Brentwood, and it's getting new ownership again. Now, it's only got maybe 12 seats total.
Where is it in Brentwood?
And it's right on Manchester.
Okay.
Right in Brentwood, not that far from, there's a Schnucks right there at Clayton Road. And then if you go a little bit further down, you will find the bowling alley that used to be. And then beyond that, is this an old St. Louis description or what? Mm-hmm. And then you will see Carl's Drive-In. Okay. Before you get to the old licensing bureau.
So new ownership.
And Woodard. Yeah, new ownership. They're going to survive. Now, if anybody has gone in there, they have had the same waitresses for 23 years. So in the turnover, it was Frank Canetto owned it for 30 years. Everybody called him Carl. He got tired of it and sold, and this guy sold again. But they are keeping it like it is. They are going to be changing some of the memorabilia. But the three ladies that work there have been there for, it's two sisters and their niece. So no worries, it's going to continue, which You know, Kirkwood used to sit on one side. If you went to Webster, you sat on the other. I'm just saying.
You went through that whole story, and I got more and more embarrassed that I confused it for Carl's Jr. Like, it's like, yeah, they've had the same waitresses for, like, decades, and I'm like, oh, man, this is not a good look for me.
I did not know there was such a thing as the Creative Arts Emmy, but Netflix's The Queen's Gambit won 9 awards over the weekend. Did you hear that?
Yeah, the Creative Arts, that's a ceremony they do as a precursor to the Emmys. I think the Emmys are next weekend.
They are next week. Yeah, which next me and Dave were talking about earlier because I saw a whole bunch of stuff pop on my Twitter like, oh, WandaVision won an Emmy, Bo Burnham won an Emmy. And I'm like,
what?
Who else won?
That's weird.
Yeah.
They do
then I look
now.
It up and I see, yeah, it's not till next week. I'm like, oh.
Okay,
oh.
I don't really
There's
don't
lots of Emmys.
That.
There's only so many they can cram into. 3 hours, I guess, on a Sunday night.
Which no one's going to watch anyway. So.
You're right. They do the Oscars like that a little bit, too, with some of the awards now, you know, in different ceremonies.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was weird. I had never heard of it. But The Mandalorian got 7.
All right.
All right. You people would be happy about
that. This is
that.
The way.
Uh-huh.
This is the way.
Is it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, we're talking about the way.
Yeah.
So. Come on, Dave.
All right. People have been known to find different ASMR.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. It's coming. Autonomous sensory meridian response, and they have found different sounds calming, right? Yeah. Some of the most popular sounds are things like whispering. People that just sit there and turn the page and they record it, or if you crinkle something.
Yeah, it's essentially just like the background noise being put right into the forefront.
Correct.
Did they mention anything about haircutting too? That's a popular one.
Oh,
haircutting is another one too,
like especially straight hair, the clip of those bangs.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It's something to it. Well, there's now a YouTube channel called Animal ASMR, and it features a tortoise named Rocky eating fruits and vegetables.
That's him, huh?
That's Rocky.
Do you find that satisfying?
Riveting.
For a minute.
If you didn't know that was a turtle, Mark, what would you think this is? Oh, I didn't like that last one.
Yeah. That one was gross. By the way, he's eating a strawberry here.
It doesn't sound like an animal. It sounds like somebody eating something. What's he eating? Strawberry?
Well, a strawberry, and then he moves on to a blueberry.
Okay. Ooh. I'm going to basically roll this audio for the rest of the show just behind us. So we're going to put
so
it on
calming.
A loop. Yeah.
It is, and it's strangely satisfying. He's chopping a strawberry, a blueberry. A piece of pumpkin does sound different, and broccoli. If you are into this sort of thing.
Now, when you sent this to me earlier, Sue, I was expecting to see some giant turtle on this video. He's
a little
guy.
He's just a little guy with a big microphone.
Yeah, he's barely bigger than the strawberry.
Yeah, he is. Oh, oof. If you like that sort of thing, they have one with a hamster, iguana, and a guinea pig.
Are they also eating, or?
I would assume so. Let's have our fingers crossed. And let's see. Oh, a new report found that the best time to book holiday flights is today. So if you are planning a trip, they say especially for Christmas, but don't panic. You can all this week is a good time to do it. There's a travel app that has used a particular algorithm to figure it out, and this week is good.
Yeah,
so
not anymore because
you
just told
travel,
everybody.
Yeah, way to go, Sue.
Sorry.
I cannot be that prepared for a trip in December.
See, I have to be. I love getting stuff done in advance, and if that is you. Do it this week.
That's me, Dave, right?
I love getting stuff up.
The poster child for doing things in advance has to be the host.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doing stuff in advance is great, but I'm always worried. Like, if I were to book a trip in December, I would spend the entire rest of the time between booking it and leaving wondering if something's going to happen that makes that date unavailable.
That's why you book it, people. And finally, today's random fact. Teddy bears, which were named after Teddy Roosevelt, were a huge hit. So a toy company tried to recreate the formula with the next president, William Howard Taft, and sold possums called Billy Possums.
Doesn't have the same ring.
They did not take off.
For generations to come, children will be asking where their possum is before bed.
That did not work. And I'm going to throw this in as a random fact, mainly just to get this theme song stuck in everyone's head, because it was on this day.
Love it.
So in 1969, that Scooby-Doo, by the way, the complete name is not Scooby-Doo, it's Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? From Hanna-Barbera, 1969. My Saturday mornings were not complete without Fred, Daphne, Velma, Shaggy, and Scooby-Doo.
Love Scooby-Doo.
And the Magic Mystery Bus. There you go.
Love
426, 97.1 FM Talk.
Be ready for your act. Don't hold back. And Scooby-Doo, if you come through, you're gonna have yourself a Scooby snack.
really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Love it.
Stop it, Rocky.
Well, I was going to do something else, but I obviously raised the question, what are the top animated shows? Hang on, Hungry Tortoise.
Okay, Rocky. Come on.
No kidding. Outside of Scooby-Doo. So you wanted the answer to that?
Yes.
This was a list that TV Guide. I said they did that in 2013, but maybe they updated it here in 2018. So here's their top 10. South Park is number 10. Family Guy is number 9. SpongeBob at number 8. I'm a rather big SpongeBob fan.
Yeah, I think that'd be higher.
That is a really, really underestimated, clever show that I've enjoyed over the years with my kids. It says Batman the Animated Series is number 7. I don't
remember. That's a good one.
That's a really good one.
One from the 90s?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really good looking. Yeah.
Kevin Conroy, Mark Hamill is the Joker.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wait,
really good.
He was really good looking?
Yeah. A cartoon that was really good looking.
All right. I guess you can be a trap.
Robin.
Mean, Jessica Rabbit was kind of
Robin,
hot.
Really Robin, huh? Yeah.
I mean,
Robin
Jasmine from Aladdin. Hot.
Okay, all right. Just,
thank you. Thank you,
I'm clarifying
Dave.
The position on attractiveness to animated characters.
You can know.
Okay? That's a little... That's strange territory for
just
me.
Thought it was
I think
cute.
The same rule is real life, right? They have to be human and not under 18.
All right, I like
that's
that, Jake.
Correct.
There you go.
Yes.
I don't love it because we're talking about cartoon characters, but I mean, if we're going to come up with a rule...
It's a good rule. I like it. Number six.
Batman, the chin people. Come
number
on.
Six was one of my favorite shows for sure. Rocky and His Friends, the Bullwinkle Show.
Aww.
Yeah, Mr. Peabody and Dudley Do-Right, remember? Do you remember that, Dave, or is that, does that
elude
you?
I remember that. I watched that probably on Nickelodeon growing up.
All right, so number four, never got it, never really got into it, never really understood it. I know this is controversial.
Bring it.
Peanuts.
Oh, yeah.
It
wasn't on a... It was a holiday thing, and your mom said, let's sit down and watch it, and it was fine.
Yeah, Charlie Brown Christmas, Great Pumpkin, Charlie
right.
Brown.
It wasn't
like that,
great,
right.
But it wasn't terrible.
Didn't do it for me. Number three, Looney Tunes, which that opens a whole can of animation there, so it's Bugs Bunny.
A lot
Daffy
of spinoffs.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I didn't...
Really? Yeah, like Roadrunner and Wally
I
Coyote.
Found that just so boring. He's always going to get hit by an anvil. The end.
Okay.
Oh,
number two would be probably my favorite. That would be the Flintstones.
Oh, that's a classic.
I love the Flintstones. And I got my daughter into the Flintstones.
Did you? Did she?
Oh,
that's
yes, she did.
Good.
She liked it quite
that's
a bit.
Good parenting.
And then number one, The Simpsons, which maybe
I nailed it. I didn't say it out loud, but I nailed the top two. Flintstones
in your head?
And The Simpsons.
I mean, if you didn't say it out loud, it doesn't count though, right?
Well,
I have to say no.
I was on Jeopardy once, and I told the host that I was thinking about the right answer.
And they gave it to you, I'm sure.
Was it LeVar Burton? By the way.
I was asked to leave.
Did you hear, Dave, were you watching the football game last night? Or no, I think it was the Packers game. It was the Packers game, which, by the way, I can't even believe I'm bringing that up because they were awful. But it was Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, and because Aaron Rodgers was playing, they were talking about Jeopardy, right? And Buck was given some accolades to Aaron Rodgers, and Joe said something like, well, I think he was like the second best Jeopardy host of the last few months or whatever. And Aikman had a perfect line, and he missed it. He because he gave Joe props, but the perfect line would have been, yep, you're right, Joe. LeVar Burton did a great job.
Yeah,
and he,
so much
he missed it. It was like, he's a football player. It was a slow softball right up the middle.
I got a kick out of the Jameis Winston tweet from, or the quote from after the game that we have in the post-game interview.
Well, I might as well play this. Sue, in case you don't know, the Packers got smoked.
By whom?
They got smoked by the New Orleans Saints without Drew Brees, and Jameis Winston is the quarterback. By the way, Drew Brees, he's going to have to get a little more comfortable in the broadcast booth or the studio.
He's
a little stilted.
But he's smart. He'll get it. I'm hoping.
You know, a third of the completed passes by Jameis Winston were touchdown passes.
So he
was that good.
Jameis Winston is the fantasy quarterback for Mark Reardon's fantasy team.
Oh,
unfortunately,
he was on your bench.
He was on my bench, and he scored 33 points. And you know what?
I don't understand how fantasy football
works. Well, it sucks. That's how.
Do
it
you
works.
Have to then field a team for the day? Is that what you do?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and I've always felt like for those people, do you play fantasy, Jake?
No, every year I think to myself, I'm going to find
You're
a league,
smart.
But then I never
right.
do.
Yeah. I've always felt...
Because I'm not a huge football guy, but like the fantasy thing seems fun to me.
I felt like there should be some special award for achieving more points on your fantasy bench than your starting lineup, which I think I achieved yesterday. But let's remind folks, Dave, you remember I got my grade from my draft from a few weeks ago, right? My draft grade was A+.
Not bad.
It said that I would only lose one game. I would go 14-1. So apparently I got the loss out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's operator error because I didn't play Winston.
Now you know.
But here's the bottom line is he did very well. And Aaron Rodgers and the Packers sucked. They looked terrible. And it was beyond just not having they didn't play very much together. Rodgers didn't play at all. And some of the receivers really weren't up to speed. But still. Now, Aaron would say, relax. That's what he said in years past. But we like this from Jameis here. See what he said after the game.
How did the defense in the running game give overall shape to the way this played out, Jameis?
Well, I just think we were prepared. You know, one thing my trainer, he told me, he said, what did he say? He just told us to be prepared.
Listen, I've been
like
there.
There.
I get it. Right?
He had a Joe Biden moment. He wasn't exactly sure.
Yes, I feel for him.
It kind of sounded like this
idea that, you know, what do you want to do with Biden? I want to box him. I should be so lucky. You know what I mean? But this, the kinds of things, or, you know, stuff that's coming out of Florida, stuff that's coming out of, you know, Robert E. Lee had been in Afghanistan. You're the one. No. Anyway.
Write that down.
I don't know. Sometimes I just want to dig in and say, what is he saying? I want to think through it, and I just don't understand it half the time. But that's okay. While we're on the topic of audio, let's get a few more in here. You know, I mentioned I didn't get a chance to reflect on Friday about 9/11, and I'm sure you guys talked about it quite a bit. I know Brad was here on the anniversary, or the day before the anniversary, and you talked about it on the roundtable, and I think Senator Ashcroft was on as well on Friday evening. But I read a great piece. I mentioned this earlier in the Washington Post from a guy who's a longtime reporter about the Flight 93 trajectory, which could have been a lot worse if that thing flies into the Capitol or the White House. And I think that more conventionalism is focused right now on the Capitol. You know, the interesting thing, and I'll pull up that piece after I play this audio, there are all kinds of little nuggets about that flight in particular. Like, that was the guy that flew that plane was the least trained, and he also was just going back and forth from other countries for a while right before the lead up to 9/11. It was almost like he's just, you know, living his life, not worrying about everything, which is one of the problems with what happened. But here is former President George W. Bush commemorating what happened in Shanksville.
In the weeks and months following the 9/11 attacks, I was proud to lead an amazing, resilient, united people. When it comes to the unity of America, those days seem distant from our own. Malign force seems at work in our common life that turns every disagreement into an argument and every argument into a clash of cultures. So much of our politics has become a naked appeal to anger, fear, and resentment. That leaves us worried about our nation and our future together. I come without explanations or solutions. I can only tell you what I've seen. On America's day of trial and grief, I saw millions of people instinctively grab for a neighbor's hand and rally to the cause of one another. That is the America I know.
And those, I mean, those passengers on that flight. So from this article, and this is a guy by the name of Bill Sternberg, who's a longtime reporter. He just kind of gets into the weeds here on what happened with that particular flight and some of the investigations that have gone over the years and some of the nuances from that story. So Flight 93 takes off 25 minutes late from Newark International because there's air traffic delays during the morning rush. And then for reasons that they're not even sure of right now, maybe it was lack of cockpit access, they wait 46 minutes on that flight to make their move. So they're already taking off late. Then they say, well, they don't, I don't know if they say that, but they don't do anything for 46 minutes. So because of that, everybody that's on that flight, and let's not forget some of the audio that we've heard even over the course of the last few days, you have air phone calls that are made, you have messages. Some of this stuff is just devastating.
So they knew ahead of time what was going on with the...
Exactly. Okay. So wow, the passengers on that flight, you had 33 passengers, several ex-athletes, a small plane pilot, a former military air traffic controller, all in that group. They attack the cockpit. Jara, who's the pilot, loses control or he crashes the plane on purpose 125 miles short. So, you know, we don't know exactly what happened in those moments, but clearly the goal was to get that particular plane to Washington, D.C., probably slam into the Capitol. And, you know, they're talking about maybe the White House was there as well. I think if he gets there, he wants to just crash and cause as much damage as possible. But I have to find some of the parts in here because this guy in particular was just kind of going back and forth from, you know, different countries. He wasn't trying to hide anything. This shows how, you know, how much we didn't have the FBI and the CIA communicating. So this guy had obtained a private pilot's license to fly single engine planes. This is Gerard, the one from Shanksville. He was the only one of the four hijackers who had not earned the commercial certification. After the takeover, he had trouble stabilizing the flight, and he mistakenly, they say, he broadcast to air traffic control a message that was intended for the passengers. And so those were all strange things about that flight, but that could have, we'll never know, but that could have turned out really, really bad. As bad as that day was, think about, as I mentioned earlier, the symbolic nature of just bringing the Capitol down. You know, we talk about January 6th and why people put the level of importance on that compared to what happened last summer with the George Floyd protest. We talked about it earlier this afternoon with Ben from Real Clear Investigations. But that image that those hijackers, it was bad enough to see the planes crashing into the Twin Towers. And, you know, the other thing that really, I don't know if you guys talked about this, the impression that was made on me from that day was the towers falling.
Yeah.
I
mean,
the planes crashing were horrific enough once you realize it was a terrorist attack. But then as that morning went along, we were not, we weren't prepared for any of this, but we certainly weren't prepared for an entire skyscraper to fall down and then another one to do the same thing in the middle of New York City.
Boy, and they've done so many specials since then, and I watched a few that explained how the towers collapsed and why. And
yeah, they didn't really expect them to fall, did they?
Well, yeah, and apparently when the planes came in, it got rid of all of the anti, you know, they have no fire spray on all of these floors and all of this metal, but it just burned right through it. And then it got so hot that it just collapsed.
Highly recommended. I was very lucky. I took my son 3 years ago to the 9/11 memorial. I've gone to the one at the Pentagon as well. I was there actually the opening night when they opened the Pentagon, I don't know, 6-7 years ago.
Oh, wow.
But the New York memorial, both of them are, I would put them on your, as somber as it is, it's not something that's celebratory. Oh. It's really something you need to see and take your kids to when you visit New York or Washington. 4:43, Cusumano coming up next. Every Monday, Friday afternoon, right around this time, Frank Cusumano from Channel 5 with us this afternoon. Let's start with Mizzou football because I was pretty excited when they flashed the wrong score up the other night. I don't know if you noticed that, but it was 21-14 and they put 21-21 up on the screen. And I thought finally we would be the benefactor of one of these stupid things, you know, that we've been the victim of over the years. But here's what I would say, Frank. We'll see if you agree. And Dave, you watched the game. I would say that this is the type of game that Kentucky at this point in their program should have won, and they did. And it's the type of game based on the recruiting and where Coach Drink is heading that we should win in the next few seasons. And I think, when Frank, you and I have talked about this before, I hope they can go 3-1 in this stretch. They gave it a good go, and there was a chance to tie that game and take it into overtime. No moral victories here, but at least it wasn't a disaster.
Well, okay, you're a very half-full, optimistic fellow about Missouri. That's good to hear. We
not
need
usually.
More of those people.
Not usually, but I am here. Yes, right now I am.
Okay, I'm actually going to play devil's advocate. Like, in their last four SEC games, okay, it's 520 yards allowed. It's 446 yards allowed. It's 615 yards allowed. It's 566 yards allowed. So here's the thing. Dan,
okay, now I feel terrible. All right. You've talked me off. Now I'm on the ledge again. Thanks a lot.
Let me tell you one thing. As Dan Dierdorf once told me, football's not that difficult. If your big guys beat up our big guys, then you're going to win. And I'm not sure if there's a whole lot you can do about you getting the tar kicked out of you at the line of scrimmage. I mean, I love the fact that this 22 recruiting class is unbelievable. I think our coach has an unbelievable offensive mind. I love Connor Vaislak. I love Beatty. But, boy, if you get beat up at the line of scrimmage, you're not going to win many football
games.
That's
what
he said. They're going to have to find a way to solve
he
it, and
said,
it's not that easy.
The quote was, "We got our butts whipped up front," and they did. And you're right. It's not going to be easy. That's why maybe I'm pointing in the direction of the next couple of years, because this could be – I mean, this is a team that might only win, I don't know, 5 or 6 games. I don't know. I hope I'm wrong about that, but it's a tough schedule.
Yeah, I had them at 7, so you better make sure you beat Boston College and be 3-1 out of the stretch.
Let's talk about the Cardinals, Frank. How about this? They're only one game out of the wild card, sucking us back in.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, in 2011, John Mozeliak did his best bit of work as a sports executive when he brought in all these relief pitchers like Dotel and Zebchinski, brought in Edwin Jackson as a starter. Well, this year, he brought in two guys named Garcia and McFarland who were released. That means nobody wanted them. Garcia is unhittable, 2.16. McFarland is unhittable, 2.03. And the two most important things in life, as Bob Lemon once said, good friends and a good bullpen. And that's why the Cardinals are a game out of the second wild card spot.
So now you have, I mean, what's the total age of the two pitchers going tonight? It's like 103 or something like that, isn't
81,
it?
81, yes, 40 and 41. Rich Hill and Adam Wainwright.
How about that? The Cardinals have had a little luck over the years against Rich Hill, but he's still hanging in there, isn't he?
He is, and he's just crafty enough that can screw up your swing for a couple of days. But every time Wainwright gets the ball, I don't care if he's facing the Mets or the 27 Yankees, you just feel like you have a chance to win. You know, he's so special. And Mark, I'm telling you, 200 wins for him was like a pipe dream. He wins 3 more. He's at 18, and then he wins like 16 next season. He could get to 200. It's crazy.
Well, it's also, and I know you've mentioned him in passing a little bit as a Cy Young, you know, at least being mentioned in the race. The reality is probably not the guy who's going to win the Cy Young. But if he gets up to 17, 18 victories, look, you can stop right now and say this is an amazing achievement for this season. There has to be some special recognition for this guy and what he achieved this year.
Yeah, he could be the best pitcher not named Max Scherzer in the National League. So that's going to be his title.
Oh, Dave had an NFL question as well.
Hey, Frank, yeah, really quickly before we go, what was it like for you seeing SoFi Stadium last night just filled to capacity for that awful matchup?
Yeah, and you know what? I was on the golf beat a lot, so my producer, Andy Bowler, chose the NFL highlights, and my policy since the Rams left was to never show a Rams highlight,
but
he had it in there. It was even more brutal for me that I had to voice over Matthew Stafford looking like God with a small G with his 156 perfect passer rating. They're really good. They really are.
They are good. I watched that game last night, and Stafford looks like, and actually Goff probably is going to do pretty well with the Lions as well. The stupid Chiefs didn't cover. That cost me a parlay yesterday. I'm going to just kind of toss that in. All I needed was 1.5 more points, and I hit my parlay, but it wasn't meant to be. Frank Cusumano, we'll talk on Friday afternoon. Have a great week.
Okay, talk to you soon, guys.
455, 97.1 FM Talk. Attorney General Eric Schmidt coming up. Is the state of Missouri going to sue the Biden administration over the vaccine requirements?
Get more at 97.1talk.com. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.